Podcast. It's Tuesday, September 10th. I'm joined by my buddy here, Cole Shelton, to break down UFC Vancouver taking place this Saturday. Should be a great card. Also, we'll talk about UFC 242 and Bellator 226. Cole, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Good, buddy. Glad to have you back as always, man. Breaking down this card. Let's get right into it. We pull out the odds right now. So we have odds for almost every fight except for the Pereira Conley fight, but we will break down that fight as well. We just won't have the odds to talk about. So right now we have 13 fights on this card. So it's a pretty stacked card, Cole. Let's start from the bottom, work our way up as always. First fight of the night, lightweight bout between Canadian Kyle Prepelic and American Austin Hubbard. Opening odds had Hubbard -230, Prepelic +170. Right now we have Hubbard -145, +125 for Kyle Prepelic. So some early money's coming on Austin Hubbard, or on Kyle Prepelic, excuse me. Who's your pick in this one, Cole?
Yeah, it's a really interesting fight because Prepelic made his UFC debut. Or they both went up the UFC debuts. Prepelic lost to Nordin Taleb. Austin Hubbard lost to Davey Ramos, but I was more impressed with Hubbard. He fought Davey Ramos really well. Prepelic, I wasn't too impressed with him against the Nordin Taleb fight. I think this will be a really interesting fight. Hubbard has the wrestling background. I think Prepelic wants to keep his fight on the feet, but I think Hubbard will be able to use his game plan a bit more and grind out a decision win.
Yeah, it's cool seeing Prepelic in the UFC right now because I remember watching him fight way back in the day in the Score Fighting Series. I have seen him live before. I'm actually looking at the card right now. Score Fighting Series 5, Josh Hill versus John Haggis Bastard Frazier. Man, that was a pretty good card. Rick Glenn knocked out Tristan Johnson. Elias Theodora won on that card. Jesse Ronson won. Jason Sago eventually came to the UFC as well. He won on that card. So like a lot of guys eventually made it to the UFC. That was a great promotion, Cole. I don't know if you were around to watch that Score Fighting Series, but it was great. Anyways, as far as this fight goes, I do favor Hubbard as well. Man, he had a tough debut against Davey Ramos. Like, what a brutal debut against a guy with that kind of a submission game. It managed not to get submitted, so good for him. Prior to that, one of three fights in a row. And was looking pretty good in LFA. He was the lightweight champion there. I do believe he's a better fighter. I hate going against the Canadian here, but I do think Hubbard's going to win. I caught Hubbard by decision in this one, Cole. Next up, we have a bantamweight bout between Luis Smolka and Ryan, the main event, McDonald. I think that's his nickname, isn't it? The main event?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I don't know why someone gave him that nickname or he gave him to himself, but he's on the prelims. He's not a main event. But anyways, the odds open, -230 Smolka, McDonald +170. Right now we have Smolka -220, McDonald +180. So line tightened up a bit, but essentially stay the same. Who's your pick here?
Yeah, this is a good fight. I talked to Smolka before this fight, and he actually said he was close to pulling out of that Schnell fight. He probably should have. He blew out his knee 8 weeks before, and he figured that was enough time to heal up. He said for this one, he's taking a lot more time. He's added weight on because he's staying at bantamweight. He said flyweight is too hard of a cut. He added weight. He moved up into the higher elevation to do some training. I like Smolka. I like his experience. McDonald's last fight really didn't impress me that much in his debut against Gutierrez. I think Smolka is just the better fighter. I think he'll use his ground game to get the win. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets in a submission win. But McDonald's tough on the ground. It could go either way, but I favor Smolka.
Yeah, I'd favor Smolka as well, but I mean, I don't personally want to bet on him. I just feel like he's not a guy you want to trust with your money. Look at his record in the UFC, very inconsistent. I think it's 7-6. Coming off a loss to Machinel. Before that, he won four in a row. So good for him. I mean, we know that he's had some personal issues to deal with alcoholism and stuff. So good for him to bounce back, get back to the UFC. But I don't know if he's someone I want to trust at -220. And McDonald, though, I can't bet on him after that last fight. I think I did pick him against Gutierrez, and man, he looked bad in that fight. Just kind of stood there and got kicked around for three rounds. Really disappointing performance to snap his unbeaten resume. Maybe he could surprise her, though. I wouldn't be surprised if McDonald actually pulled off the win. So I'm going to lay off this one, but I will pick Luis Smolka to win, probably by decision, maybe by submission. Next up, we have a featherweight bout between Chas Skelly and Jordan Griffin. Odds open, Chas Skelly -130, Griffin -110. Right now we have Griffin -140, Skelly +120. So odds flipped a little bit, but still pretty close odds. Who's your pick here, Cole?
Yeah, this is a very close fight. Chas Skelly, two losses in a row, that coming off that Bobby Moffitt loss where he didn't really know if he tapped or if he went out. It was kind of controversial. Jordan Griffin, in his UFC debut, had a really tough fight against Dan Ige. He went the distance with him, which was pretty impressive. Had a submission win on the contenders he was getting in the UFC. I favor Jordan Griffin a bit. I think he'll be able to take this fight down to the ground and use his jiu-jitsu, get a submission where we've seen Kelly been submitted before. We've seen him be finished on the ground before being ground and pound. I think Griffin his game plan should be able to take his fight down to the ground. I think he will, and I think he'll be able to finish Chaz Skelly.
Yeah, I like Griffin here a little bit too. Skelly, he's had some good performances in the UFC. Really, in the beginning of his career in the UFC, he had a bunch of wins and looked like he was going to be a contender. Then the last few years really tailed off. He hasn't fought that often, and when he has, he's been getting finished. So that's definitely a concern. Jordan Griffin, I thought he looked pretty good against Danny Gay. Actually, I think that was a really close fight. They could have gone either way. Before that, he won 4 straight fights in a row, and his only loss in the last 10 fights before the Ige fight was the Juan Archuleta fight in King of the Cage. So that's not a bad loss at all. I think he's going to win this fight. I got Jordan Griffin to win decision, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did get a submission because Skelly's been very vulnerable on the ground. And I should mention that Griffin's 5 years younger, 29, compared to 34 for Chaz Skelly. And for Skelly, he's got to win this fight. Cole, if he loses, I think he's going to get cut in that stacked featherweight division. Next up, we have a bantamweight bout between Brad Katone, the Canadian, American Hunter Azure, Contender Series veteran. Opening odds, Brad Katone minus 185, Azure plus 145 right now. Katone minus 165, Azure plus 145. So the odds tighten up a little bit, but Katone is still the favorite. Who's your pick here, Cole?
Yeah, this is good. Katone is on the card. I think they really like put him on the Canadian card. He was on 231, then he was on the auto one. His last fight against Merab, I picked Katone. I thought that was like the step up he needed, and he really disappointed. As for Azure, he's coming off the Contender Series, UFC debut. He fought in LFA, which is a good promotion. Their styles are very similar to me, but I just think Katone is better than Azure. I think he's better at the ground. I think he's better at striking. The experience is a big factor, too. This is Azure's UFC debut, so you don't really know how he's going to fare, but I like Katone in this one. I think Katone gets this one done by decision and gets back in the win column.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in this one. I was pretty high in Katone before that last fight. I don't know why he looked so bad in that one. I mean, Merab's definitely a decent fighter, but he was just dominating that fight. Very disappointing. Azure, I thought he looked really good in the Contender Series against a really tough guy in Chris Ocone. Undefeated in his career, former LFA fighter, obviously. Not champion, but still got some good experience there. I favor Azure in this fight, to be honest, Cole. I like him as an underdog here. I just think he's going to be the better grappler. I think he can wrestle Brad Katone. I think that he's going to look at that Merab fight, see what he did there, and try to emulate the game plan. Definitely a close fight. The odds are pretty close for a reason, but I feel like there's value in Azure as an underdog here, plus 145. Next up, we have a middleweight bout between Marvin Vettori and Andrew Sanchez. Marvin Vettori open at minus 195, Sanchez plus 155. Right now we have Vettori minus 300, Sanchez plus 250. Who's your pick here, Cole?
I like Marvin Vettori a lot. I had Andrew Sanchez's last fight against Barrio. It was a good win. Two straight wins in the UFC over an Alex Perez, but Vittori's last fight really impressed me against Cesar Ferreira. His fight before that, he did a split decision loss to Israel Adesanya. It was very impressive. Vittori's taking this fight on relative short notice. I think he only had 6-7 weeks, which is... But he just had a fight, so he's in good shape, good camp. I think Vittori's striking jiu-jitsu will be a big factor in this fight. I think I talked to him before the fight, and he said the biggest factor in this fight will be the cardio. He thinks he'll be able to push the pace hard, and we've seen Sanchez fade in that Barrio fight. I think that's going to be the big difference in this one. I think Vittori wins this one. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets like a late third-round finish just because of the cardio fades on Sanchez.
You know, Sanchez has definitely looked better lately. The Barrio win, like you said, good win there. It was a pretty good fight, and I think he's looked improved since he went to TriStar. But, man, I can't forget those fights with James and Smith where he lost in the third round. Like, the cardio really failed him, and Vettori is a guy that has really good cardio. That last fight against Ferreira, I thought that was going to be a pretty competitive fight, Cole, and he pretty much made the blowout. This guy is only 25 years old, very young, still improving. I think he could be that superstar that the UFC needs to go to Italy. Don't know why they haven't gone there yet when Bellator goes there all the time, but either way, I like Marvin Vettori here. I think he wins the decision, maybe stoppage, but probably decision. Next up, we have a bantamweight bout between Cole, Shelton Smith, and Miles Johns. Opening odds, Miles Johns minus 175, Cole Smith plus 135. Right now we have Miles Johns minus 130, Cole Smith plus 110. Are you going to pick Cole Smith just because he has the same name as you?
It's a super close fight. You have 7-0 versus, 9-0? Yeah, like Miles Johns, the Contender Series guy. Cole Smith had a good win over Mitch Gagnon in his UFC debut. Cole Smith's fighting really close to home. I think I talked to him, it's like 20 minutes away. Like, it's a short drive away. Allowed a lot of friends and family. Miles Johns, I'm really high on, though. He's the LFA champ, comes from a good camp at Fortis. It's a super close fight. I wouldn't recommend betting just how close it is. I favor Miles Johns slightly. I think his wrestling and striking will be a big factor in this fight, as he showed in the Contender Series. But it's a super close fight that could go either way. But I think Johns edges out a decision.
I actually like Miles Johns quite a bit here. Cole Smith definitely looked good in the Michigan Yon fight. I was impressed with him. He's obviously a local boy, so that should give him a boost. Fought a lot in British Columbia. And he's looked good in his career. Good ground game, good overall game. But I think Miles Johns, man, I think this guy is really special. 25 years old, 4 MMA product. We all know how those guys fare in the UFC. They win almost all their fights. So this guy is really impressive. I liked his performance in the Contender Series. Liked him in LFA. I think he wins this fight, Cole. Minus 130, I think there is value in Miles Johns. So I do think he's a good bet here, actually. I could be wrong. Who knows? But I like Miles Johns here, man. Give me Miles Johns, minus 130. I think there's value. Next up, we have the heavyweight bout between Augusto Sakai and Marcin Tybura. Tybura opened minus 135. Sakai opened at minus 105. Right now, we have Tybura minus 115. Sakai minus 105. So essentially, pick him slightly towards Tybura. Who's your pick here?
It's not a fight I'd be comfortable betting on. Sakai, obviously, that split decision win over Andrei Arlovski. I think you and me both thought Arlovski won that fight. Tybura's coming off a knockout loss to Shmuel after Akimov, which we saw him just get dominated against Curtis Blades. Before that, beat Stefan Struve and then knocked out to Derek Lewis and lost to Werdum. Sakai's on a nice winning streak, but his opponents aren't too good. Chase Sherman, who got cut from the UFC, and then Marco Conrado Jr. It was a Contender Series guy. It's a tough fight to pick. One punch could change anything. I favor Sakai slightly. I just think he's just a bit better. But again, it's one punch could change a thing. It's not a fight I'd be comfortable betting with, but I'll just favor Sakai to get it done by stoppage.
Yeah, it's a close fight. Not a fight that I would recommend betting on. Two mid-tier heavyweights and maybe two guys fighting for their job, especially Tybura, lost three of his last four. Sakai, he's winning in the UFC. He's won two straight fights, Sherman and Arlovski, actually four straight overall. But man, Chase Sherman, first off, like that's, you know, it's good they got the finish there, Cole, but that's not a great win. Chase Sherman's not even in the UFC. And then the Arlovski fight, listen, I had Sakai. I picked him. I remember I had him in the Sherdog, the prime picks I used to do. But Arlovski definitely won that fight. And I was surprised Sakai won that fight. And that's not a good sign, I don't think. Tybura, he is older, 33, so that kind of concerns me a little bit. Honestly, Cole, like, this fight could go either way, man. I think we're both kind of guessing at this one. I lean towards Tybura because I do think he's the better striker here, and I think the fight can stay on the feet, but no way I bet on it. I wouldn't be surprised if you're right, and Sakai does pull out the win. Next up, we have this is a good fight. Light heavyweight bout between Jamie Crude and Misha Sirkunov. Jim Crude opened at minus 145. Sirkunov opened plus 105 right now. We have Crude minus 115. Sirkunov minus 105. So essentially a pick-em with slightly towards Jamie Crude. Who's your pick here?
Yeah, I don't know why the odds aren't higher. I think Jamie Crude easily wins this fight. Like, I'm very high on him. His last fight against Sam Alvey was impressive. Sirkunov's been knocked out before. Crude has a ton of knockout power. This is a fight I think Sirkunov needs to win to keep his job, and I don't think he does. I think Crute knocks him out, but I get why Sirkunov is kind of that hometown guy. He's from Canada, but Crute, I mean, I'm surprised they didn't put him on that Australia card. He's a big draw there. He's going to be the next big thing in Australia, and I think this is kind of the next big step for him. I think he knocks out Sirkunov here early.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Sirkunov. I've been watching this guy for years. Just looking at his topology reminds me. Look at this event here, Cole. Knockout Entertainment MMA The Reckoning. That was the first card in Ontario. I was at that card. That was at Casinorama. Jordan Bean versus Josh Berkman in the main event. And Misha Sirkunov was also on that card. A couple other guys. Jason Sago was on that card. Jason Young, who fought in the UFC, was on that card. And I've been a fan of him ever since. Also fought in the Score Fighting Series. But, you know, and he had a great start to his UFC career. I remember when the UFC, they kind of like released him temporarily and then they re-signed it. But there was a contract dispute and people were shocked because he had one of those fights in a row, including that great word where Krylov. But since then, Cole really struggled. Three of his last four fights have ended in loss. His wife has been battling cancer, which is really obviously tough on him, I think. He's been kind of going between Toronto and Vegas. Just a lot going on with Misha Sirkunov. Love the guy. I think he's a great guy. And I, you know what, Cole? I really hope they don't cut him because he's going through a lot in his personal life. But I don't like this matchup for him. I think Jamie Crude is the better fighter at this point. 23 years old, undefeated. He's looked fantastic in the UFC. Back-to-back stoppage wins were Sam Alvey and Paul Craig. This guy's the future 205 goal. You talk about like prospects at 205. They always talk about Johnny Walker and Dominic Reyes and stuff, but you never talk about Jamie Crude. This guy, to me, is right behind those guys. I think he's fantastic. So I think Jim Crude wins. And honestly, he probably does finish Misa Surkhanov in this fight. So minus 115, Cole. Another fight where I'm a little confused by the odds. I think he should be a lot higher considering how he's looked in the UFC and how Surkhanov's fared lately. Next up, we have a canceled bout between Michelle Pereira and Sergey Kendosko. So that fight's not going to take place. Pereira actually opened at minus 165, Kendosko plus 125. And I just saw today that the replacement opponent has been announced. Tristan Connolly, a local guy, will be taking on Michelle Pereira. We don't have odds for that, but we can talk about the fight a little bit here. So Michelle Pereira, 23 and 9 record, excuse me, coming off a fantastic win in the UFC over Danny Roberts. He's actually won 3 straight fights overall. The only loss before that was to Tusko Todorovic, who's in the UFC now, and I think that guy's a good prospect. This guy looked incredible against Danny Roberts. A fantastic knockout. I think he won a bonus for that. Tristan Connolly here, 13-6 record, 33 years old, a little bit older of a prospect. He is a Vancouver guy. He has some decent amount of experience, actually. He's fought all over the Canadian regional scene, Battlefield, Armageddon, a couple other promotions here. Rise FC in the last fight. I know James Lynch called that fight. And actually, James was one of the guys saying that he should get the call for this fight. So good for him to get into the UFC, beat Duane Owens in his last fight. He won 4 straight fights by stoppage. So he does have that going for him. But I don't know, Cole. Like 1 week's notice against a guy who just picked up an incredible win in the UFC and who is actually only – somehow Pereira's only 25. He looks way older than that. I don't – maybe he's lying about his age or something, but – I don't have the odds for Cole, but you got to pick Pereira here, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I think good for Connolly getting the UFC from Vancouver. Same camp as Cole Smith, so that should be interesting. But, man, I really like Pereira in here. That debut against Danny Roberts, like, we expected just from the stuff you see from when he was in, like, Road FC, what you saw he was doing, everyone expected some wild stuff, and he came out and did. He was throwing flying knees, like, some crazy elbows. I think Pereira knocks out Connolly here, but I'm glad to see Connolly in the UFC. I know James has really been high, and I'm talking that he should be in the UFC. So hopefully he gets another fight after this one, especially if he loses. But I favor Pereira, and I feel like he'll be like a pretty big favorite on this card.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, next up, middleweight bout between Antonio Carlos Jr. and Uriah Hall. Very intriguing fight here. I know you didn't interview Uriah Hall. You can talk about that before we break down the fight, but I'm going to get the odds out of the way. Jr. open minus 195, Hall open plus 155. Right now, Jr. minus 210, Hall plus 175. Well, there's some cutting going on there. Talk about your interview with Uriah Hall first.
Yeah, well, you switch camps to Florida, so that should be really interesting. Obviously, you have Saif Sahood, good camp there, a lot of good looks there. You got, like, Jeff Neal, Alonzo Menafield he was working with. That's why he went to Florida, so it's kind of interesting. He just was in Dallas for a week, and he's like, man, I gotta get some training in. Went to Florida. Sorry, there's just construction going on in my house, but yeah, Hall, I think, I favor Carlos Jr. a lot in this fight. I think he'll be able to take his fight down to the ground, really use his jiu-jitsu to get Hall. I wouldn't even be surprised if he submits him. Hall has that knockout power. He can knock out Carlos Jr. Carlos Jr. looked not that impressive against Heinisch. Heinisch really just outpaced him. But I don't think Hall has the cardio to do that. I think Carlos Jr. submits Uriah Hall here.
Yeah, I think this fight can go either way, honestly. The Heinisch fight, I wasn't impressed by Jr. at all. Obviously, he had the 5-fight win streak. A lot of wins by submission. You know how good his ground game is, but you know Hall is—he's not an easy guy to submit. Just looking at his resume, has he even been submitted before? No, I don't think so. Never been submitted. He's been knocked out a couple times. His chin's not great. I think the Musasi fight—can't remember. I think he finished on the ground. Can't remember too much right now. But I think this fight can go either way, Cole. Honestly, I feel like Uriah Hall is the hardest guy to pick his fights in the UFC. Like, he's just so inconsistent. And when he looks good, he looks good. When he looks bad, he looks really bad. Such a hard guy to pick. But I'm going to take Uriah Hall here. I know it's crazy, but I don't know. Something about Junior's last fight just didn't impress me. And I think Hall can catch him, man. I think he can do it. I think it's going to be one of those fights where he's losing 2 rounds and pulls it out in the third. So not confident at all, but I'll take Uriah Hall. Plus 175, why not? Next up, we have a heavyweight bout between Todd Duffy and Jeff Hughes. Todd Duffy returned to the UFC after 4 years away, so long time away from the sport. Todd Duffy opened minus 170. Hughes opened minus 130. Right now, we have Hughes opened plus 130. Right now, we have Hughes minus 120, Todd Duffy plus 100. So the odds have flipped. Hughes is a small favorite. Who's your pick?
Yeah, it's a really close fight. I think Todd Duffy is the better fighter than Jeff Hughes. I think he's proven that, but man, just that layoff really sucks. Like, Jeff Hughes did not look impressive against Maurice Green. It was a split decision loss. Duffy's fought some of the top guys, fought Frank Mir, fought Phil DeFreyes, fought Alistair Overeem. I don't think the value is on Todd Duffy in this fight. I think he can win it, but just the layoff scares me. So I'd pick Jeff Hughes, but that's not a confident pick at all.
Yeah, this is a tough fight to call. Todd Duffy is definitely one of my favorites in the heavyweight division, but he hasn't fought in 4 years. Really like the guy, but that's a long layoff, man. You can't trust a guy coming off a four-year layoff, unfortunately. He did get knocked by Frank Mir. I remember that fight because I had money on Todd Duffy and he got knocked out that night. But we all know who he is. He's killed or be killed. He either knocks you out or he gets knocked out. I don't trust his chin. I don't trust the layoff. And he's been injured a lot. Jeff Hughes, not impressive at all in that fight against Maurice Green. Very disappointing to lose a rematch against the guy he dominated in the first fight. That was disappointing. But, you know, he is a little bit younger. He trains with Stipe, so I think that should help him here. Give me Jeff Hughes, grind out a decision. I don't know how exciting the fight's going to be, but I think Jeff Hughes does pull it out. There's no way I'd bet on this fight either. Next up, we have a light heavyweight. Oh, this is the co-main event, actually, between Glover Teixeira and Nikita Krylov. Glover open -130, Krylov open -110. Right now, we have Krylov's actually a small favorite, -120. Glover's +100. Who's your pick, Cole?
Yeah, this should be a really good fight, really close fight. Teixeira obviously has the experience. His last fight, submitted Jan Kudalaba, which is a really good one. Before that, submitted Carl Robinson on short notice. Krylov's coming off that rear naked choke of OSP in a fight no one really expected to happen. It's a good fight. Their stand-ups are pretty similar. Both are have good submission games. So I think they're going to negate each other on the ground. It's going to stay standing where I favor Teixeira's stand-up. It's not a fight I'd bet on, but I like the underdog and Teixeira just a bit more here.
I like Glover too, man. Honestly, like the guy, he keeps getting used to the gatekeeper. He keeps winning his fights. The Corey Anderson loss wasn't good last year. He got pretty much wrestle fucked. I mean, let's just say it. That's what happened. But other than that, he's looked good, man. His submission game is top notch. He's got a pretty good chin, good wrestling, good striking. He's just a well-rounded guy. Krylov looked great against OSP. I was surprised he won that rematch. He's won 5 of his last 6, but the fight against Jan Błachowicz. He gets submitted by Jan Błachowicz, and Glover's ground game so much better. I think Glover wins, man. As an underdog, I think you got to take Glover here. +100, give me Glover to share. I think he wins by submission. Is there a prop for that? Let's take a look. Well, inside the distance, +130. There's no value. Just take him straight up. And maybe if that submission prop comes out, there's value. But I like Glover here, man. All right, time for the main event of the evening. This fight's bananas, cool. I love it so much. Love it. Two of my favorite guys. Justin Gaethje versus Donald Cerrone. Justin Gaethje open -250. Cowboy open +210. Right now, Justin Gaethje -190. Cowboy +165. Who are you picking, Cole?
Well, anyone that took Cerrone, those opening odds, I think that had a lot of value on it. Because I think this is a very close fight. The odds are starting to shorten up, which makes sense. They went up way too high. But, man, what a fight. Gaethje and Cerrone, both known for leg kicks. Gaethje obviously has some of the hardest leg kicks in the division. He's a brawler. He just goes for it. It's a really interesting fight. I favor Gaethje slightly. We've seen Cerrone get knocked out before. We've seen him get hurt. I think he can knock out Cerrone. It should be really interesting, though. We've seen Gaethje lose to Poirier and Alvarez, who brought pressure on him, which kind of negated Gaethje. We've seen him fade. We know Cerrone has the cardio to go 5 distance. So this is a fight, I think, if it goes in the 4th and 5th round, it favors Cerrone is huge because Gaethje's cardio is still a major question mark. In his last fight was supposed to be 5 rounds. His past 2 fights were supposed to be 5 rounds. He got him out early in the first. I think if Cerrone can survive the early onslaught, he can beat Gaethje by decision or late finish. But I just think Gaethje knocks out Cerrone here.
Yeah, I like Gaethje too. I mean, I've picked him in almost every fight. Everyone knows how much I love him. And Cowboy's a guy that honestly has surprised me a bit lately. But the last fight against Ferguson, getting beat up like that, people were saying it was controversial. He got destroyed in that fight. Tony Ferguson was so much better in that fight. And I feel like the same thing's going to happen here. I think Gaethje picks apart Donald Cerrone and wins by knockout as well, probably 1st or 2nd round. So give me Justin Gaethje. Odds -190. You know, it's a little bit higher than I'd like. I'd like to get a little bit lower. I think it will shorten up actually closer to the fight. But I do like Justin Gaethje here, Cole. So I think we agreed on almost all the fights except for, I think, the heavyweight belt between Tiber and Kai. I think that's Katone and Azure. So most part, we did agree. That's UFC 242. Is there any way you can tell them to quiet?
Yeah, just a second here.
No worries. All right, so UFC 242, guys. I have broke down the card. No worries. Cole's got some construction going on here. That's all on my end. I know I've had my dogs working in the past too. Anyways, UFC 242, I broke it down yesterday. I want to get Cole's thoughts on that card because obviously there's so much to talk about, but wait till he gets back here. And we'll talk about Khabib versus Poirier. And I should mention, there are some odds for some other fights that came out. Khabib and Ferguson. For some reason, William Hill will open a line today between Cormier and Brock Lesnar. I really have no idea. Cormier opened -303, Lesnar +225. I don't know if you guys see that, but it's so weird. Like, why would they open the odds for that fight when it's not been rumored, like, at all? It's so strange, right? What else? Yeah, that's pretty much it. Need Cole to come back here. All right, there he is. Okay. UFC 242, Cole. I already broke it down yesterday, but give me your thoughts on the main event, man.
Yeah, Khabib Poirier, I think that's kind of how we thought it was going to go. That guillotine choke was tight by Poirier, though. That was very impressive. I think that was close to being finished. Like, that was so tight. I think that was Poirier's only hope. That was his kind of last chance. Yep. After that choke by Khabib was in so tight that, I mean, there was no fighting the hands. Like, you were going to sleep or you're tapping. It was really heartbreaking to hear Poirier talk after the fight of how, like, this loss will haunt him forever and how he's talking about retirement. He's still one of the best lightweights ever. He's still one of the best lightweights in the UFC right now. But Khabib's on a different level, and I think it has to be Tony Ferguson next. There's no other fight to make besides that.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Of course, it should be Ferguson. I had a tweet the other day that blew up. I have like 3,000 likes on it because I said anyone who likes the Conor McGregor fight over the Ferguson fight is not a real fan. I mean, and I stand by that comment, man. Who would want to see the Conor McGregor rematch over Ferguson getting the fight? This is a fight that we wanted to see. I think it's been booked 4 times, got canceled every time. So great fight. By the way, the odds are out for that, Cole. For right now, Khabib's -235, Ferguson's +200. I kind of like Ferguson a little bit, Cole. I know it's crazy because Khabib's amazing, but do you give Ferguson a chance?
Yeah, Valley's on Ferguson right now. I thought, like, Conor McGregor was a closer underdog than, and I think Ferguson's a way tougher fight, but yeah. I think all the value's on Ferguson. I think Ferguson has the skill set to beat Khabib, but it's going to be tough to beat Khabib.
I agree. I mean, with that wrestling, it's going to be tough, but Ferguson, I do believe with that submission, with the striking and with the wrestling that we don't really see that often, plus his cardio, his chin, he's just an incredible fighter, man, and I do think he actually has a good chance to win this fight, so we'll see what happens, but right now, I agree with you that value's on Ferguson. Just a couple other things on this card. I talked about this earlier today on the other podcast, but Edson Barboza is going to appeal his loss to Paul Felder by split decision. Really wonky scorecards, called 30-27 Paul Felder. I don't know how you guys – I think you did the card for sure, Doug. How did you score that? I had a 29-28 for Felder. I had him second and third rounds, but what did you have?
I had 29-28 Barboza. I had first and third for Barboza, but no – or no, first and
– second, right?
Second, yeah.
The second round was the toss-up round.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, the first round was 100% Barboza.
Yeah, and third round was clear for Felder. Yeah. There's any 30-27 scorecard is a joke. Like, yeah. And it's one of those fights where I had Barboza, but I'm like, when Felder won, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, it was such close. The second round was just swing round. It's what do you value more? And it was such a close fight. 29-28 either way was fine by me, but any 30-27 scorecard was kind of wonky.
Yeah, but especially the 30-27 Felder. It doesn't make sense. How do you give him the first round? And like I said, Alex Davis, the manager of Barboza, they've appealed to the UFC. I don't think it's going to work. You never see appeals like this work. What are they going to do? No contest? No, they won't. Maybe they do a trilogy fight, though. I'd like to see that fight happen one more time. Anyways, it was a great fight. Could have won fight of the night, but they paid for performance bonuses. A couple other performances here. Carlos Diego Ferreira, man, and you picked him too, man. Wow. Like, is he a top 10 guy right now?
I think he deserves a top 10 opponent for sure. Like, well, let me look at the rankings. Like, who could?
I don't think he's ranked, like, somehow.
No.
Like, because, okay, here's the thing about lightweight rankings. They're so fucked up because you still have Anthony Pettis in there.
Kevin Lee, you still have in there.
Why are those guys in the rankings? They're not even lightweights. And you have Conor McGregor there who never fights anymore. So the rankings are messed up, man. They don't make sense to me.
Do you know what would be a good fight? Give, like, Alexander Hernandez against Diego Ferreira.
Yeah, you could do that. I feel like he deserves someone even better than that at this point. I mean, who knows? Like, I
wonder if you get Barboza on a loss.
That's what I was thinking. Barboza would be a sick fight. That'd be a great fight. You have to kind of favor, I think, Ferreira at this point, though, right? Like, that was a breakthrough performance, man. I want to look at his fight metric for a sec. Carlos Diego Ferreira. Because I know he threw a ton of strikes. I want to see how many he threw. Diego Ferreira. He landed 109 strikes. And how many did he throw? Because he attempted a lot, man. Missed a lot, too, but... He attempted 329 strikes in a three-round fight. That's insane. That's over 100 strikes a round he threw. That pressure was unbelievable. So great performance by him. Just a couple other things here. Bilal Muhammad, most underrated welterweight in the UFC?
Yeah, I think the Jeff Neal fight, that kind of set him back a bit. But, man, his past two wins have been very impressive. Like, what a performance by him. Like, good to see him get a bonus, too. That was such a good fight. And surprised that he was so early on the card, especially given he was from the Middle East and fighting in the Middle East. I thought they kind of put him higher up on the card. But it was a good fight.
Anything else you want to talk about from that card? Any other fight?
Well, just the first two fights that opened the card, I'm like, oh no, this is
trash.
I thought the heat was that big of a factor, and I'm like, this is gonna be the card.
They were just bad fights, Cole, honestly. The Madge ZM fight was trash, and the Akhmedov Cummings fight was
also
bad fights.
We both called it. Why was Zubair Tukov one of the biggest favorites on the card? And you saw what happened.
He lost, and that was a close fight. I think I scored it for him, but like it was super close. You don't see split draws too often. That's very rare, but that might have been a case where it actually wasn't a bad call. And the other fight I actually wanted to mention was Andrea Lee losing to Joanne Calderwood. Cole. I mean, was this more of Andrea Lee just not stepping up, or was it Joanne Calderwood actually being a little bit maybe underrated by us?
I think it's a bit of both. I think Calderwood was really underrated. I think after the Chookagan loss, we kind of started to fade her a bit because we all expected her to beat Chookagan, and that loss was not a good one. But I think Andrea Lee, she's still young. I think she has what it takes to be a top contender and a challenger. But I think I think the UFC was kind of hoping Lee won the fight just because now who do you give Shevchenko to? You can't give her Calderwood because she just lost to Chookagan, and that doesn't make any sense because Chookagan really should get it, but she's fighting Jennifer Maia, so the whole division's kind of in a thing. Like, I think if Lee won that fight, I think the UFC would have probably done Lee Shevchenko. So it's gonna be interesting who Shevchenko fights next. But
yeah,
it was a good performance from Calderwood.
What do they do there? Do they go with Paige VanZant? Do they just feed her to the wolves? Do they go with Casey Barber and try to get her that, you know, that record for youngest champ? I don't know. Like, it's kind of weird because I thought Chookagian would get it, but let's be honest, Cole. None of these girls stand a chance against Valentina at this point.
Like, looking at the rankings, you have Chookagian and I tied for first, and Chookagian's booked. I's not going to get the rematch. You have Calderwood at three, which she could get it, but then Chookagian probably should have got it before her because she has a win. Then you have Carmouche, who just lost. Maya, who's fighting Chookagian. You have Viviana Araujo, who's fighting I. And then you have Andrea Lee, who's coming off a loss. Like, the division has no contender for Shevchenko, so maybe she has to sit out until, like, February, March and get that Chookagian and Maya winner.
Yeah, it's not a great division right now. You're a dominant champ. All right, let's move on here. Bellator 226. Did you watch the card?
I did not, but I watched it in the morning, like some of the fights, like the main card.
I was a sicko when I double dipped on MMA on Saturday. I watched both cards. I'm crazy, right? I think I had a nap between the two. But anyways, it was a decent card. I think we both thought it would be pretty good. Just thoughts on the main event, Ryan Bader, Chia Kongo. Do you think it was a case of Kongo looking for a way out, or do you think it was a real eye poke? Do you think it was faken?
So hard to tell if it was an eye poke. Like, the hand was up there by the nose and the eye that it easily could have gone in the eye. And his eye did look like he got poked in the eye, but that could have been from the punches too. Like, you don't really know. His eye did swell up immediately, which makes you think it was an eye poke. There's no real evidence either way. But he was getting dominated in that fight. Like, Bader was so close to finishing that fight.
You think they do the rematch? Do you think they set it up like kind of Caratana, Richard, and they run it back? Or do you think they go and they do Bader versus Yuri Prozhadzka in Ryzen? Because it looks like that's kind of the fight that Scott Coker wants. What do you think?
I just hope Bader defends that light heavyweight belt. He hasn't defended in 2 years. Like, I know Bellator's light heavyweight division is not that good, but at a time, you're the champion, you got to defend it. Like, there's Nemkov there you can fight, but...
Yeah, but I think Yuri Prozhadzka and Ryzen, that makes sense. He wouldn't be defending his belt. Maybe they'd be trying to unify the two belts, but that guy's on like an 8-fight win streak, Cole. He just knocked out King Mo. He looks amazing. I think that'd be the fight to make, but I don't think there's an appetite for Kongo and Bader 2. Personally, Kongo had a shot. He was going to lose the fight. You could do a rematch just because it didn't end in no contest, but I think Scott Coker doesn't want that. A couple other fights in this card. Okay, so the featherweight tournament. Before I talk about the fights here, Scott Coker, I watched the interview he did with, I think it was MMA Junkie, or just maybe it was a scrum with the reporters. But either way, he said that they're going to do – remember I was talking about the picking the balls and the numbers and stuff? They're going to do that during the next card. They're going to actually have it before the Machida and Musasi fight. So that's pretty cool. Everyone's going to get to see what happens. Because remember I told you, Cole, I'm like, I want to see this publicly. Like, it'd be kind of sketchy if they're like, oh, yeah, this is the guy. He picked this fight. So we'll see what happens. But according to Coker, I want to talk about this quickly because it's kind of cool.
Wait, they're going to do it before Musasi Machida?
Yeah.
So how does Archuleta Pipple get there today?
What's the main event? What's
Pipple Archuleta.
That's what he said. So maybe he's wrong. Maybe they switched it. I don't know either way, but maybe it is after the main event. But either way, it's going to be all the guys getting in the ring. He said, Skullberg said, either each fighter with their coach to help them pick the matchup. First guy gets to pick which date. And he said there's going to be one in December, January, February, March. Then so that's for the quarterfinals. The semifinals will be in June, and the finals will be next September. So at least we have kind of the tournament set up. And you know what? It'd be nice to see these tournaments end sooner, but I think 1 year is actually not a bad time period in modern MMA where you don't really fight twice in one night or three times in one night like they used to. Either way, I think it's pretty cool. You know, there were some good fights here. Let's talk about them quickly. I mean, I was very surprised by Darren Campos beating Daniel Strauss. Not only did he beat him, Cole, but it was 30-25 scorecard, man. So great performance there. Adam Borks, we both called this one TKO win over Pat Curran. I think that was a great value bet on Borks. I think he was minus 140. Great value there. Pedro Carvalho beats Sam Cecilia. Emmanuel Sanchez with a submission win, triangle choke over Taiwan Claxton. Great win there. And in alternate bout, we had a massive, massive upset. Daniel Scary Carey plus 775, Cole. Defeats Gaston Blanos via first round technical submission. Guillotine choked him out cold. Blanos minus 1200. So give me your thoughts on the four quarterfinal fights and also the alternate fight. Sorry, not quarterfinal. I meant to say opening round.
Yeah, Derek Campos looked really impressive. Dominated Daniel Strauss. I did not expect that. I thought it'd be a really close fight. That was kind of a toss up. I didn't know who was going to win that one. I favored Campos, but I did not think it was going to be like that. Adam Borics, like, I think he's a sleeper in this one. He is a real dark horse to win this tournament. Like, he has been impressed. He's undefeated. I think a lot of people didn't really know who he was when he was fighting Pico. A lot of thought that was kind of a layup for Pico. It turned out it's not. Look at him. He's in the second round. I think a lot of people are going to try and not fight him. I think he's going to be a guy people are going to stay away with because there's a lot of people to fight that if you have the opening matchup, you get a pick. Pedro Carvalho, I think he looked really impressed against Sam Cecilia. I didn't think Cecilia really had a chance. I was surprised he was in the tournament. But Emmanuel Sanchez, Taiwan Claxton, it was similar to MVP. Like, it was just too – or sorry, it was not MVP, but Gracie and Ed Ruth. Like, it was just too much too soon. The Grand Prix, I mean, I think he still has a ton of potential. He's still highly regarded as a prospect. He has a ton of finishing power, but Sanchez just has that experience. And that was the big difference in this one. And man, the alternate, if you had Daniel Carey at that odds, like, no one expected that. Everyone thought that was just an easy way for Gaston Bolanos to be the alternate in case something happened. Like, Bellator was high on him. So it was just, I mean, I was surprised by that when I saw that result because I was following it along on like social media. And I'm like, no way that happened. But what a performance by Carey. I hope, like, part of me hopes he doesn't have to fight in the tournament because I like all the guys in the tournament, but he certainly deserves in case there's an injury now after that fight.
Yeah, I hope not either, but I mean, the guy looked good, and that was a big up. That was one of the biggest upsets of the year for sure as far as the odds go. All right, a couple other things. We're done with as far as fight recaps and stuff. Let's talk about a few things in the news here. We got to talk about American Top Team, Cole. What the hell's going on there, man? Like, at some point, either Colby's going to leave or Masvidal's going to leave, right? Like, I can't see them coinciding anymore, especially with Colby talking so much smack about Poirier and stuff. Like, I know Dan Lambert loves Colby. I love Colby, too. I think he's great. But, man, when you start talking smack about your teammates, it's a bad look. What do you think is going to happen there, dude?
Well, I don't think Colby's going to leave because Dan Lambert's Colby's manager. So you're going to have to either have Lambert not manage Covington anymore, and then he leaves ATT. But something's going to happen there. Like, it's not good. Like, you saw Poirier and go at him today. You wrote the thing for BJ Penn saying it's on site if it happens. But, like, I don't know. Something's going to happen there. I think Masvidal and Covington, a lot of people thought it was an act. They don't like each other. They truly do not like each other anymore. And I think it's a fight that is going to happen pretty soon. They have a big beef starting, and I just think someone's going to have to leave, and I think if anyone leaves, it's going to be Masvidal.
Yeah, it's weird. They've both been training there forever. Like, Masvidal's a staple of American Top Team. So is Colby, but Masvidal especially, he's been there forever. And it's weird because just a few weeks ago, we all thought they were best buddies. Like, you know, there's pictures, they talk with each other. And then I think one of them was asked, I think it was Colby, and he was asked, like, what's going to happen after the fight? And they said, oh, we talked about it. If it's for the title, we'll fight. Otherwise, we won't. Looks like they're going to fight either way now, Cole. So don't know what happened there. Not sure what happened with the negotiations for Usman Covington. Looks like Colby's saying the UFC didn't pay him enough. Don't know exactly what happened behind the scenes, but we got Nate Diaz versus Masvidal. It's the main event of UFC 244, which should be good. But that leaves UFC 245 open. Now we have John Jones on his social media saying that there's a big fight announcement coming. And we had Jan Błachowicz go and make a tweet today saying he's got a big fight announcement to make too. So looks like Jones versus Błachowicz in UFC 245. That's what I'm hearing, Cole. What do you think, man? Good fight? Or do you think Błachowicz has a chance like Santos does?
John Jones dominates that fight.
Yeah. The ground game especially. I mean, I think Yan's got the power for sure, but Jones, I don't even know if he's been believed in Rock except for maybe the Machida fight. Otherwise, either way, you know what, though? He does deserve it. Last five of his last six fights, he's won. So in a shallow division, yeah, he does deserve it, but I don't know. And also, Tony Ferguson said he wants to fight in that card too, Cole. He wants to fight Habib at 245. And then you had Max Holloway wants to fight Volkanovski. And you have Nunez who wants to fight GDR, all in that card in Vegas, the one I'm trying to go to, Cole. So don't know what's going to happen there, man, but it looks like you're going to have at least two title fights. But we'll see what happens. Anything else you want to talk about, Cole, before we get out of here?
No, I think that's everything.
Hey, plug your stuff.
Twitter at ColeShell91. I talked to Uriah Hall, Marvin Vettori. I just talked to Paulo Costa yesterday, so some of that stuff will be up soon on BJFN. Other than that, yeah, construction's going on, so I guess I'm heading out of here.
All right, peace out, man. All right, guys, follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available at MMAOddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com, MMARings.net. Just posted an article, MMARings.net. Is Habib the GOAT? Go and check it out. Thanks, Cole, for joining me, man. Appreciate you guys tuning in today. We're back next Tuesday talking about UFC Mexico City. Have a good one, guys.